Good Monday morning and welcome back to the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. I am your host, Shannon Gray, and we've got our Texas wheat producers update this morning. We're doing that with Stilly Fischbacher. And Stilly, thanks for being back with us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yep, absolutely. And of course, first things first, we'll just go ahead and talk about what I'm sure a lot of our producers are currently doing, and that's harvest.
That's right. So we are deep in the thick of it and actually trending towards wrapping up harvest here in Texas, especially if we make a lot of progress or if we made a lot of progress over the weekend. At the end of the week, we were expecting to be about 70% harvested. Here in the High Plains, most of what was left was irrigated acres. To our north, Oklahoma was estimated at 92% complete and Kansas at 22%. So it's moving very quickly, and we do have a large area of the U.S. that's now harvesting actively. As we've been pulling samples for U.S. Wheat Associates and Plains Grains, Inc., which are two groups that we're involved in that supply quality data to our overseas and domestic customers about the U.S. crop. As we've been pulling those samples and testing them, so far we've tested 42 samples, and we've got an average of about 11.1% on protein and test weights of 62. So in terms of quality of the crop that's coming out of the field, that all is looking very good at this point and better than what we saw last year in terms of the quality of the crop, especially about protein. That's compared to the yields from last year, which are down a little bit. So kind of a give and take there on that situation, but always good for us to be providing that real-time data of the quality of the crop to our customers. We're also going to talk a little bit later about how we send that data out and the types of activities that we do, but just know that that is very much underway. And moving very quickly, but definitely great to see combines out in the fields here in the High Plains, and we wish those farmers best of luck as they try to wrap up harvest.
Yeah, absolutely. Wheat harvest is near and dear to my heart. It's one of the few things I've actually gotten to participate in for quite a few years now, and it's one of my favorite times of year.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so pretty. And yeah, as you said, hopefully everyone is fair and well out there, and we'll see how those numbers shake out as we move forward. Now, along with that, I know we've had a lot of back and forth with trade. What can you tell us on that front at the moment?
Well, what we were watching closely last week, Ambassador Lighthizer, who serves as the USTR for the United States, was on the Hill for a couple of hearings. It's the first time we've heard from him in an official hearing setting in quite a while, so it was something we were watching very closely. He gave updates on USMCA, which is supposed to come into effect on July 1st. Some areas of concern that he mentioned he would be watching and the industry has notified him of as well. Canada issues with dairy. And something we've been involved in on the wheat side is scientific standards with Mexico. We've seen some concern about some products that we're watching and trying to work through those issues. But very reassuring to hear him say that all systems are go for enforcement on July 1st, and that he's already notified of all these other issues, and we'll be watching those as we move forward. I think we're all very well aware that we have to have these free trade agreements. And they can be very successful for agriculture, but they have to be enforced. And so, really great to hear his comments along that vein. And same concept extends to the agreement with China, the Phase One agreement. He did say multiple times that he fully expects them to fulfill that Phase One agreement and is working very closely with them on changing regulations and other barriers within China to try to open those up and meet those targets that were included in that agreement. So there's always give and take with China. We are hearing different messages throughout the administration. Even last week, we heard those comments from Lighthizer, which were very positive on fulfilling that agreement. And then we saw the president come in later and say that all options are on the table in terms of how we're going to negotiate and move forward with our relationship with China. So always something that we have to stay very involved in. And part of doing that last week was that 190 ag groups sent a letter to the president expressing their support for the Phase One agreement with China and asking to continue pushing forward on fulfillment of that agreement. So definitely a big lift for all ag industries involved, but definitely great to see us on record continuing to support that, as we know that those increased sales that we've seen already in some instances, including wheat, including hard red winter wheat, and soybeans and other commodities can be really beneficial for our farmers. So we'll continue to stay involved there. But that's what we were watching on trade last week.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking with some other groups this week, it just dawned on me in some of their comments that part of having those trade agreements and having them go well is market development, you know, especially when you talk about wheat, for example, during harvest. That's usually the time when we have a lot of buyers coming in from other countries to see what it's like on our farms and see how great the quality is here in the U.S. What kind of activities are you able to do at this point in time in relation to that?
Yeah, that's a very good point, because that is the time that we would normally be holding those activities. We call those trade teams, where we have millers and bakers from foreign countries who could be prime customers come over and actually walk through the fields, go to the grain elevators, look at our grain inspection service and all of that. And so right now, because of the situation we're in, we've had to move a lot of those activities to virtual. And so just this past week, we actually participated in two virtual trade teams where those customers were able to get online, hear from industry professionals, grain handlers, and farmers out in the field. The first of those was with Brazil. That was facilitated through Kansas Wheat as well as U.S. Wheat Associates. And a great success story with Brazil just even in the past year. So we had them, we hosted a group from Brazil and Texas last June. And over the course of the year, we worked very hard to get a trade barrier that we had with Brazil resolved. And so we saw that movement and that success story in getting that TRQ with Brazil in place. And the end result of that was for the 19-20 marketing year, which we just wrapped up for wheat, we doubled, more than doubled, our exports of U.S. wheat to Brazil. And so that's kind of the first step of what we're expecting to see, and we do expect that to continue to increase. They have implemented a 750,000 metric ton TRQ, and during that last marketing year, they imported 450,000 metric tons. So we still haven't reached that 750 level, but we're going to continue to push for that. And so having them participate in one of those virtual trade teams is just another step on that process of rebuilding that relationship and trying to increase those sales. We also participated in one of those virtual trade teams with South African customers, which can be a really big market for hard red winter and is one of our, you know, top priorities where we want to see growth. And so that one went really well. Was very pleased with how both of those virtual trade teams went. I think moving forward, we're still going to see the value of bringing those folks here and having them on the farm. But maybe we can increase the amount of people we can reach through having some of these virtual trade teams as well. So something that our industry is going to be heavily considering and trying to reach as many folks as we can during harvest, even if it's in a different way than what we've done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, technology has really come in handy since all of this has started. So it's great to hear that you're still able to do that in some way. And then along with that, you know, we've had some new programs come about as a result of COVID-19. We've been talking a lot about that Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, CFAP, but you actually have an update today on the Paycheck Protection Program.
That's right. So this is one that we were talking about a lot in April. Mm-hmm. And so we had several of our farmer members actually apply for these loans and receive these loans through the Small Business Administration. And now is kind of that time where we're expecting folks to have to apply for their forgiveness of that loan. That was one of the main attractions of the loan, is that it can be forgiven if you meet certain criteria. And so now is the time. We've actually been waiting on guidance from the SBA on how to really do this. And a lot of those rules have actually changed since what we were seeing in April. The Congress just passed recently a bill that made several modifications to the program and specifically to this loan forgiveness. So if you have one of those loans, Once you wrap up harvest, you have a little bit of extra time, start reaching out to your banker and asking those questions about what you need to do to apply for that forgiveness. The SBA has put out two new applications for that process. They call them the easy applications. And so most of our farmers will be able to use that streamlined application for forgiveness. And so we have posted those on texaswheat.org. But again, just making sure that you meet that criteria for forgiveness and knowing that some of those rules have changed. So initially, you had to spend at least 75% of that loan on payroll expenses to get the full amount forgiven. And so that has been reduced to 60%, which we think is a move in the right direction. And then as well as we were looking at an 8-week window for spending that loan on eligible expenses. And so that has been extended to 24 weeks. So you have a lot more time now to use that money and use those funds in the approved manner and for the eligible expenses, as well as additional time to apply for forgiveness. So definitely something to keep in mind, but you still have plenty of time to get that started through the process. But just know that if you're looking for that information, obviously reach out to your lender. They're going to be the best source of information on this. But if you're just looking for that application, we have posted that on our website.
All right. Yeah, you can find that at texaswheat.org. And Stilly, thanks again for visiting with us.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
That is Stilly Fishbacher with Texas Wheat Producers. That's going to wrap up the Monday edition of the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. Please go out there and make it a great day. I'm your Agribusiness News Director, Shannon Gray.